Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Really well.
Yes.
Just had a good stretch.
I know, right? Have you got your running shoes on?
No.
No? And your water, bottle of water?
Well, no, but I got my green smoothie.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
In my Star Trek cup.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you are good to go.
I know, right? I'm such a nerd.
Yes.
I love it.
So we're ready to engage.
Yes. Engage.
Engage.
Make it so.
Yes. Number one.
Okay.
Because today we're going to go on a...
on a virtual public art tour.
Isn't that exciting?
It is exciting.
So when you're listening to this and you're feeling the need to stretch and get out and maybe change your point of view...
Hey, I think a person could actually listen to us and take themselves on the tour. It would probably take about the same amount of time.
It would.
That'd be so fabulous. Yeah. We'd be like in the big fancy museums where you have an audio tour. You just wear a little thing.
It's true.
And then you just walk around and some woman is talking to you in your ear.
Yes.
That's kind of awesome.
I think it will be more, a little more fun than that. This painting was painted in. It won't be like that at all.
It'll be a cross between that and Janet Cardiff.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. We don't have quite that technology and her awesome, perfect voice either.
Yes.
But it'll be somewhere in between.
Right.
Okay.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah.
It's like a vast... you know, spans of difference, but somewhere in there, that's where we'll be.
That's right.
So join us on our virtual walk.
Yes. And so the reason that we want to do this, well, actually I was a bit inspired too by Ken Jameson bringing his grade eight class.
Aww.
Two grade eight classes came to the gallery to start their public art tour. So I was able to maximize the attendance of our wonderful engineer who also was a collaborator on the public art work that's out in front of the gallery.
Yes.
So Eric could talk about that work that he did with Sharda Marie Keegan. And then I was able to go on with them and talk about the mosaic and a couple of other places along the way.
Oh, how great.
It was really nice.
Yes.
And so it's really important that people in Salmon Arm understand what an amazing public art collection we have.
Yes.
And it's an asset.
Mm-hmm.
This is a community asset.
Mm-hmm. It belongs to everybody.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should know about it.
Absolutely.
So welcome to the tour.
That's right. Welcome to the tour. Keep
today.
Your hands in the ride at all times. No, kidding.
Yes. And no pictures. No,
yeah,
you could take pictures. I don't care. Anyway, so we're going to start at the gallery. I know that you can kind of start anywhere in the downtown.
It's a great gathering space. To start at the gallery.
Yeah. Yes. I think everything should start at the gallery.
A lot of good things have started at the gallery.
Yes. The first thing that everybody should know is that the Arts Council is the holder of the community art collection.
Mm-hmm.
There are 72 works in the collection.
Wow. And you've been collecting since?
Since 1970.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes people will bring a piece?
Lots of times it's donated. There's been a few purchases over the years.
Mm-hmm.
If you go way back, do you know what terrible policy was in place in the 70s
that I can't imagine.
The winner of the first prize, and I can't remember which award it was, at the fall fair, you get the prize, but you had to donate your work to the collection.
Here's $1.25. Thank you. Yeah.
No, it was bigger than just the first prize.
Okay.
Like it was a special prize.
Okay.
But still, it probably was like
so 25
or 50 bucks or something, right? In the 70s. So that was kind of a ripoff. But,
because they had to trade in their work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
on the other hand, it's great to...
Yeah. Historically, those are important
absolutely.
Works. Right? So maybe 25 bucks, you know, wasn't that important at the time,
mm-hmm.
but really... some of those artists are long gone.
Yes.
And we have a piece in the collection. It's mm-hmm. historically important.
And nowadays we would buy it. There
yes.
would be no
there's much more respect for artists.
You have to give it away.
I think that only lasted 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
And then somebody said, that's
wait
not
a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so there has been donations to the collection over time. And actually there was a sell-off at one time. Like the collection was larger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually it's about the same size now, but at the, back in 2002, I think. Oh, gosh, 2003.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so there was just a bit of a thinning of the collection. There were quite a few works that were not duplicates, but there were 4 or 5 pieces from one artist.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an opportunity that the provincial government offered, the BC Arts Renaissance Fund, that if you raised money for your endowment fund, they would match that amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what the Arts Council had decided to do, is to have a sale, sort of thin out the collection a little bit and streamline it, and then use the revenue to start an endowment fund, and then the BC government matched it. And so they raised, I think, about $12,000 at that time doing that. So that was $24,000 that could go into an endowment fund.
Which we still
used.
So that's a legacy, too. And that's very common for public galleries to collect pieces and then sell them and use the money to either acquire other pieces or 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 support exhibitions.
Yeah. So it's, and then a lot of the collection, it's
how
15,
the big kids do it.
Such big kids. It's 15 of the works are on display at the college right now.
I see them every time I go there.
Yeah. So that's nice. So those all
belong. But as you say, people may not know.
Yeah. I suppose there should be some real proper labels up there, right? That say what that is and that it belongs to the community collection. Anyway, some significant works.
Valuable.
We have two Chris Crayons in the collection. Like, yeah, there's a lot of really valuable works, and so it's very exciting. So there's the community collection that the Arts Council holds. So that's where we're starting. That's a public asset. And then the temporary work that's out front of the gallery is an ever-recycling piece, but that's always going to be a public art space.
Yes.
Right now it's a study in transparency. Yes, it's third installation.
Third installation. So prior to that was...
We had John Sayer,
the
wood carver. Coyote Tricks. And then Louis-Marc Simard, nude at the bottom of the staircase.
Nude at the bottom of the staircase.
Yeah.
Not descending.
Not
already at the bottom.
Done the stairs. arrived.
And that's the space in front of the gallery. And
every year or 2 years.
Year or 2 years it switches.
Yeah. So it's exciting.
It's beautiful, that piece now. And it is a collaborative piece,
too. Yeah, So a glass artist and a metal artist. Not very often that you see two people like that working together, but it's a very successful piece.
And it feels permanent. I don't want it to go away.
I know. A lot of people have said, oh, good, you finally decided on one.
It just seems to fit in it.
It's site-specific. Yes. They created it to fit that space.
Makes
a
difference. So we can talk about site-specific as we go along, because some of them are... Maybe less site-specific than others.
But. Yes. Okay, so let's tootle down Hudson Avenue.
Right.
So we've arrived down Hudson at the Ross Street Plaza.
Yes.
So corner of Hudson and Ross Street, where a beautiful plaza was created in as a celebration to Salmon Arm Centennial, right? The 2005 Centennial.
Yes, but it didn't happen until 2006.
Well, it's seven, finished eight. Until 8, I think, right? So two things for us happened there. First, the pebble tile mosaic. Right?
Yes.
The design of that fountain was totally different from the original plan that the architects who designed City Hall did.
The original plan was far more elaborate.
Yeah.
But extremely expensive. And we were in a bit of a boom at the time. So I think the challenge was finding, being able to build it for what the city thought it would cost. I think it came in much higher. So then they had to kind of scale it back a bit.
Yeah. So at the time we got involved by suggesting this pebble tile mosaic because it was a skill and a project opportunity to involve a lot of kids.
Yeah,
and we wanted to do it. So we had three diamond shaped pools that kind of spilled into each other.
Yes.
And so we designed the tiles to be exactly fitted in those three pools. And that's how the fish came about, the fish design.
The design.
Within each
Every fish was a diamond shaped tile.
Yeah.
But just to go back a little bit, that actually was an initiative of the Community Foundation.
Oh, really?
Speaking of...
Like that fountain?
No, the Children's Art Project.
Oh.
One day when I was chair of the Centennial, or co-chair of the Centennial Committee, Cindy Durquez came to visit us and said, you know, if you were to do, say, like a Children's Art Project, the foundation would be really interested in hearing about that.
It's interesting.
And that's... In a way, where it started.
Yeah.
Right? So the funding piece is so important.
It is.
And there are so many community groups who are like, well, we would like to do something, and we have funding available, but the groups have to do the work, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why it worked, I think. And then we talked about it at the board level, and Glenn Anderson had just finished that beautiful public art piece in Kelowna with all the
the apples and
the
pears.
Apple labels in tile.
Yeah.
And then you guys just ran with it.
Yeah. So that worked out nicely.
Mm-hmm. It was hard. It took a long time.
It did. And it was after the design was turfed, and then another architect came in with a different design with a round pool. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, now what are we going to do? Because we had 88 tiles built by these kids, and every tile was individually loved and created with all of these fish images, because we knew these things would be underwater with flowing water over top of them.
Yes.
And somehow we made it work. So we placed them in there, and they're kind of crazy. They look a little bit like a badly done jigsaw puzzle, but when the water's on them, they still look fabulous.
I think they're beautiful. Yeah. Every time I look at them, I think of when my kids were little. They were really little.
They
the mixing and cement and pouring and pressing it in March, spending days, you know, March breaks, sticking rocks into cement, and it was a factory down there, man. It was a maker space.
It really was. Yeah, down in the lower level of the gallery. Yes. Oh my gosh, those were dark days.
Well,
because I remember the building of the molds, and oh my gosh, doing all the cement pouring, and Eric was recruiting every friend he had to come and help. It was crazy.
No, you guys worked hard.
Yeah.
But the kids had a great time.
Yeah. And everyone was individual to the kid, right? Yeah. It's not like it was a big project where they, you know, placed five pebbles into this big picture. They all got to do their own thing. Yes, that was pretty special.
If you were two, it might be like kind of a big morphy fishy thing, or as you know, some kids who were a little bit older did, you know, quite elaborate. Mm-hmm. There's octopus in there.
And
some of those kids are, you know, are grown-ups now.
That's true.
And have kids, probably.
Because we started it in 2005.
Yes.
So that's 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so there's the Pebble Tile Mosaic, and then there's the Broken Tile Mosaic.
Yes.
So that interest... You know what's such a coincidence that you said that Cindy Dirkhaus came to you with that way back when? Because it was Cindy that stopped me on the street in front of that thing after we had done a chalk mural, because we always brought the Art Camp kids down to do a chalk mural on the back of that stage, right? And she's the one that stopped me and said, when are you guys going to do something with that? It's so terribly blank. And I said, yeah, I'll get a man right on that. And that finally was the kick in the pants I needed.
So just so you know, sometimes popping by to see someone and having a conversation can lead to pretty amazing things.
Yeah. So anyway, that mosaic project was a long time coming.
Yes.
So that I started thinking about way back in 2009, I think, after a few... you know, comments like that. And the Arts Council decided.
Well, I really think that art camp, when you did get the kids to do a chalk drawing, that started it.
Well, yeah, it did.
In a way, that kind of sketched it out. Wait a minute, maybe we could use this space.
Yeah.
In a different way.
And we thought about painted murals, and we thought about, you know, all kinds of possibilities. And there was issues with lots of them. So the idea of a mosaic, you know, came up a while back, but it was like, oh my gosh, that would be so expensive and so laborious. And so it, you know, it felt a big bit intimidating at the beginning, but that was, you know, when we did the big studies about figuring out how long something would last and what kind of maintenance it required, that was the ideal media.
Yes. So. And these are tough choices to
make
and complicated
and
process
take long
to follow,
time to plan.
Does it not look like it's been there forever?
Yeah. And, yeah,
so maybe we can talk more about it after the break. But
today on Artscape, we're taking you on a virtual public art tour.
We sure are.
Yeah, so we've started at the gallery with the community collection and the temporary public art space, and then we're at Ross Street Plaza. We talked about the Pebble Tile Mosaic, and now the big Broken Tile Mosaic.
Now we're looking at the beautiful Four Seasons of the Shuswap.
Yes, and a whole bunch of ideas converge together for that one. Calendario ideas, the city logo that was sandblasted into the middle that became the sun of the whole image, and just a whole lot of people that had ideas and
a tribute to the natural environment, because nature is the best designer.
That's right. So anyway, that's...
And there's everything from little wee tiny ladybugs to giant...
Yeah.
Eagles.
Yeah. Right? Osprey.
Osprey.
It's an osprey.
Oh, sorry. There is ladybugs,
and there's 20.
There?
No, there's no ladybugs. It's bumblebee.
Oh, it's a bumblebee. I knew it was something little. Yeah.
There's a bumblebee. There's a pheasant. There's a chickadee.
Oh, the pheasant.
There's a blackbird.
The
there's a hummingbird.
Yes.
There's several salmon, and there's grebes and mallards and swans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And an osprey holding a fish.
So it's, it's a good inventory of what goes on here.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. There's 20 creatures. Mm-hmm. So you got to challenge yourself to find all 20 creatures.
Right. And there were literally hundreds of thousands of hours of community time put into that thing.
Yes.
Every piece of tile was broken, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. By somebody, mm-hmm. mostly kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Over 200 people involved from beginning to end, mm-hmm. Just in the actual creation of it, never mind in the early stages of design mm-hmm. and inventory and fundraising and everything else. So,
and it was sort of this time of year, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was May, June.
With your art hobo days when you would push the shopping carts back and forth.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, gosh. Let's just not think about that.
I know.
I'm not quite wonderful. Over it yet. Yeah. It's been 2 years and I'm not quite, I haven't been able to look back at it with fondness yet.
Okay.
I still feel tired when I think about
it. Do you?
Yeah. It was like every day, 13, 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
And thinking that we were going to be done any day and it's just
Well, that's it, right? Expectations are the source of all evil.
I think so. But it's a jewel in our crown.
Oh my goodness.
It's so awesome and I'm happy it's done.
It's such a legacy piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how could you not be happy looking at that?
Yeah, I know. We'd still like to ride by it on mm-hmm. our bikes. And yeah. Okay, so let's mosey on down. Now let's just go down the alley. Yeah, so now we're at the back of the Selmar Classic Theater.
North, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the big film reel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, you know, it's kind of interesting.
Which used to be a big, ugly Quonset hut.
I know, and for how many decades was it just the big ugly Quonset hut, and it took a certain Warren Welter to arrive in town and go, that looks just like a film reel. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
But that was also, it happened around the centennial,
mm-hmm.
because everybody got to thinking about what their legacy piece could be,
mm-hmm.
and there were a number of ideas. One of them was to turn it into an outdoor theater.
Really?
Where we could have watched movies.
Like in the from the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
But that, you know, a lot of good ideas, but you have to check off feasible, meh, you know.
Yeah.
Achievable. Possible, not probable. Mm-hmm. Achievable, mm-hmm. yes. Then there was another idea for maybe a collaborative community piece, but again, a great idea, maybe not so achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Warren took a number of options to the board of directors and wasn't getting the uptake, right?
Yeah.
Which is hard for an artist because you're like, oh, I really want to do something and I have this great idea. And the board says, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And anyway, because it's a theater, I don't know where the meeting was, but it was sort of like, okay, we see where you're going. Maybe take it back to the drawing board a little bit. And he just happened to look down and saw a film reel because they still use film reels.
Mm-hmm.
I think they still do, or they did. I don't know.
Yeah. But
it's up until, you know, maybe even a year ago, the film reels are delivered every day to the theater. And he looked down and he saw the film reel and he thought about the Quonset hut and he said, that's it. It's a film reel.
It's amazing.
Right? Yeah. So sometimes people will say, oh, the process takes too long, or nobody liked my idea, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes it's just because the collective wisdom isn't in place yet.
Mm-hmm.
And when the idea is right, everybody knows, right?
Yeah.
So the minute it was, okay, it's going to be a film reel. We're going to paint a film reel on the back using silver and black space. And then the sculptural element was the piece of mm-hmm. film coming off the top, which had to be engineered, right? You don't need that puppy falling down on people. So it's very complex, big risk, big investment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so iconic now.
It is.
It's hard to believe it was ever anything else.
I know.
And that's when we know that it worked.
Yeah. No, it's an impressive piece. Mm-hmm. And I when I was walking up with the kids, with the grade 8 kids, it's kind of funny. I had to ask one of them, do you know what that is? Like, is it a thing still?
Yeah.
Like, that they know what film reels are?
Yeah.
I kind of wondered. But the kid's like, oh, yeah, I know what that is.
Cool.
Yeah. But it'll be there long after the digital age has claimed a whole generation, right?
Yes.
And it'll stay as iconic.
But it's iconography of a time.
Historical purpose. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the Selmar was built in 1946.
Yeah.
1946 is a huge year for Selmar.
Really?
Yeah. Credit Union was founded. The Selmar was built. All sorts of things happened in 1946.
Well, why don't we scoot on down the street then? So let's continue on down Lakeshore to Saskatoon.
1946, that's right.
So the Salmon Arm Farmers Exchange, is that what it was called?
No, it was an orchard.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, the organization that started before it was the credit union. Wasn't it the Farmers Exchange?
Well, yes, tied together, but okay. Actually two separate.
Oh, okay.
I think members of the Salmon Arm Farmers Exchange were unhappy, apparently, with one of the banks.
Ah, and so they formed
and in true Salmon Arm spirit, they said, you know what? Go jump in the lake. We've got this.
Yeah.
And there's so many examples of that, too. The Salmar is a cooperative. The golf course is a cooperative, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Farmers Exchange and the credit union, yeah. Right?
So they formed a board,
mm-hmm.
with the purpose of being able to, financially
lend each other money, because they weren't happy with the terms they were getting from the bigger banks.
Right. And so the number of people that were on that founding board are represented in the sculpture.
Mm-hmm. And the number of original members.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it was 7 board members and 14 members.
Right.
Yeah.
And then those tractor seats that are there to hold your...
Again, that was all as a result of a conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So representing the farmers and their working lives. Mm-hmm. And the apples, of course, because we were the capital of the...
Non-irrigated
fruit. Apple. Yeah. Oh, tree fruit.
Tree fruit. We won best apple in the World's Fair in Paris.
We did?
In a fair in Paris. I think it was the World's Fair.
Okay.
Yes.
Holy cow, that's really important.
They shipped it from Salmon Arm to Montreal and put it on a ship and sent it to Paris.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
Maybe not one apple. Maybe like a whole. Maybe like...
It was one apple.
Yeah.
That apple was awesome.
But it's... I think... We should also talk about why that happened, why they put a sculpture there.
Okay, why?
So in 2006 was the credit union's 60th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, diamond anniversary. And it just so happened that the clock needed to be repaired, right? So sometimes it's just random stuff.
Well, right, because they had a digit or a
chain. Weird, it was awful
clock.
Square digital display. And the problem was often it would be 2 minutes behind. So you would say, okay, it's 4:55, I can make it. And you'd park your car, run indoors, locked. It drove people, like, around the bend. I remember one time it happened to my husband, Dave, and I thought he was going to seriously close his account. Like, he was so frustrated.
Yeah.
And I said, well, honey, sometimes the clock is off. I don't care if the clock says 55. I should be allowed. Anyway, so they had to take it down to repair it.
Yeah.
And Warren, in his wisdom, said to the former CEO, Michael Wagner, why would you ever put that ugly thing back up again? In his Warren Welter way.
Yeah.
And Michael said, well, why don't we talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
And so Warren said, you know, that would be a great opportunity to celebrate your 60th anniversary and build a piece of public art that tells your story. Well, that was it. The board was okay. And for all I know, they might have had this planned anyway. I don't. But it was triggered by the fact that the clock needed to be repaired.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's better to replace than repair. And that, where the credit union is now, used to be an orchard.
Yeah, right.
So it made sense to celebrate that. Right?
Yeah.
With the apples and the tractor seats for the orchardists
and
the apples for the fruit. And now that it's all growing up, the trees are growing around it. I mean, again, it feels like it's always been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a story.
Oh, such a great story.
The critical part here is that it tells a story.
Right. And, you know, it's a risk because the credit union has more members than there are residents in the city of Salmon Arm.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, there's like 20, at least 20,000 members.
Oh, because they have branches in Sorrento and Sycamores.
And so if you're going to take those dollars and spend it on public art, you know, now you have shareholders involved.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you make all of those people happy?
Yeah.
Right? Or how do you not create why do you spend my money on that? I want lower banking fees. That's always it's risky. That's always an outcome.
That's true.
And so I don't remember, I mean, I was doing work with the credit union at the time. I don't remember much pushback on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
maybe we're a very enlightened community.
I think we followed a process that was engaging. And so my job was to help on the design, you know, the PR side, and mm-hmm. to explain. So we had these postcards made, and we had a beautiful big, I wonder if that's still there. If I could find it, I would love to have it back. But we built this beautiful big, like a giant Apple box mm-hmm. Label that yeah. was in the lobby that explained the whole story of the sculpture and the whole story of the start of the credit union. I mean, it was a piece of public art.
Yeah.
I'm totally going to phone them and see if it's still there.
Yeah, well, I thought there was a historical record of the whole process
yes.
somewhere.
Yes.
Because I know that...
Oh, it's probably in there somewhere.
Yeah, hopefully. Because
yeah.
that's an important part of the story,
yeah.
that, how
and so
it came to be.
The fact that you could, you know, you don't just put stuff up and hope for the best.
Yeah.
You have to bring them to the water
yeah.
and say, here, drink
yeah.
this, you know?
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good. And people are so proud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
I think so.
Yeah.
And lots of people were at first, you know, just like every piece of public art ever, they say, I don't like it. It's this, it's that. And why it's this? And why did it do that?
Why are the apples so big?
Yeah.
Those are all very good questions.
Yeah. yeah. And then after a while, it just becomes,
yeah.
this is our thing.
Yeah.
This is what helps define us.
Yeah. My favorite part is the tractor seat.
Yeah.
Because they look like leaves.
Yeah.
Right? So there's like a big apple flower with, yeah.
it's a lovely design
yeah.
and it's welcoming and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fun should always be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And authentic.
Awesome. Okay. And now, so we're just now going to go up the street. So
up
we're going to go up Fourth to the corner where the post office is.
Yeah.
Now, the post office was built there in the early 70s.
I know. People are thinking, what? Post office?
I know.
What is there? There's no public art there.
Except except
check
there
your book.
Is
yes.
something there. Nobody seems to know. I shouldn't say nobody. We are doing an official call out for information on the bumps.
The bumps at the post office.
Yeah.
Which are hidden by the bushes.
Yeah. There's, by the yew bush.
Yeah.
But I've been into the post office and I've spoken to the longest term employees that I can find there and they don't know
mm-hmm.
who did it or what it is or its title or the anything mm-hmm. about it. And I've asked at the Historical Society and Deb Chapman at Haney. Nobody seems to really...
Well, you know, it's that era, right? Late 70s, early 80s. The Historical Society is mostly concerned with things that happened World War II and before.
Right, yeah.
So there's kind of a big...
There's a gap.
A little bit of a gap there.
Yeah, where we have people that are around that should remember
yeah.
that stuff. But for some reason, this is not information that's held within our community. So
well,
I'm suspecting
because
that...
Because it probably wasn't commissioned within the community.
That's right. So as a federal building, it might have been a federal decision and call out to somebody to design something. And
for
so
a number of buildings.
Without a story that connects it to
yes.
our community,
mm-hmm.
we lost it.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the absolute opposite to what happened at the credit
exactly.
union and what happened at the Selmar.
Yeah.
I mean, so, there are practical things. Maybe they built 10 post offices that year and they commissioned one artist to do 10 similar pieces of work.
Yeah.
But we don't get to know.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. So anybody out there knows anything about the bumps?
About the bumps.
You let us know.
Well,
you can email
yeah.
me. You can email me through the Salmon Art Center website. Just to help us.
Yeah.
Help us get somewhere
right.
with that.
Right. And maybe
yeah.
we can... think about what we could do to highlight the bumps.
Yes. Today on Artscape, we're taking you on a virtual public art tour.
That's right.
In Salmon Arm.
In Salmon Arm. So now you're going to cross the highway.
We're crossing the highway
but
now.
But go at the lights.
Yes.
And look both ways.
When it says the little white man
yes.
walking. Yeah.
Don't get all brave.
And watch, look before you
yeah.
start walking
yeah.
because even then sometimes trucks are,
well,
or anybody is just zipping
highway.
Through.
So
it is.
Yes.
Be cautious.
That's right.
Okay,
so
we're scooting across to Fletcher Park.
Yes.
Which had a total revitalization. I remember taking my kids there when it was, you know, the old skate park and, you know, a little tiny playground with a funny train engine.
Oh,
bar
I love
thing.
The train engine.
Oh, my gosh. It was probably the most dangerous piece of equipment, but it was their favorite.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about those things that are dangerous, I guess.
I don't know.
Anything metal right now,
mm-hmm.
they just, oh, you can bonk your head on it. Take it out. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it was totally beyond CSA approved. But that also happened around the centennial, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why these, like last week we talked about Canada 150, but these markers in time are important.
Yeah.
Right?
2007.
2007.
Yeah.
So they might have started the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, right after City
mm-hmm.
Hall was built, right? It was like, okay, we've dug this place up. We got to... You don't design something lovely.
Yes.
Rotary put up money for the splash park.
Yes.
So that was a big asset for our community.
Raised money for the park.
Mm-hmm. So what we've got is a community gathering space that's mm-hmm. open and welcoming right next to City Hall, which is yes. lovely. And there was
Of course they needed something new because it would have been pretty shabby looking.
Yeah.
It was harsh looking beside old City Hall. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all very pretty there now with a path that connects the two streets mm-hmm. front and back. And there's sculpture there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of ideas floating around from what I understood early in the days about what to do. But I know that one of the pieces is something that Eric actually did.
The family.
Yeah, the family. Yeah.
Lovely.
And that was a committee of people who wanted to, they were the Fletcher Park Committee, I think.
Yes.
And they wanted to see something that was not, well, it was in a budget range, mm-hmm. not something necessarily that would be harmful if kids decided to climb on it,
mm-hmm.
Something that recognized that that place was for families. And so Eric was one of the design ideas that ended up getting selected, which was really nice. And it was a very simple form of two adult-ish figures with a space of a child figure inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of smooth edges, mm-hmm. very straightforward.
Yeah.
But that's
and it's lovely,
mm-hmm.
and it tells that story.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the other piece came during right before the Olympics
yes.
that were in Vancouver.
Yeah. Speaking of momentous events.
Yeah. And so the Spirit of BC had that committee did quite a number of projects around BC, mm-hmm. including public art that was legacy
mm-hmm.
kind of material, and City Hall selected a piece that was a guy with a torch.
With a torch, because the torch came through the
yes.
seminar.
Yeah. And some of our local celebrities got to carry it, which was exciting.
That's
yeah.
right.
There was a lot of celebration during
it
that time.
It was a crazy day, the torch day.
Mm-hmm. I remember we had the snow sculpture competition, too, during that time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Our local or Spirit of BC committee organized that. Was there much snow? I can't remember.
I don't know, but I know it was really expensive to get the snow blocks made and brought there.
Oh, okay.
That was the biggest expense of the whole thing. And then we had the, you know, the teams that you could sign up and do a sculpture.
Of course you won.
No.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't win. I can't remember who won, but not me.
Oh.
But what I loved was that there was a team of city staff.
Yes.
But Marty Bootsman was on it too.
Yes.
And they did a Rubik's Cube.
Oh, so smart.
Yeah.
See? The city's very practical.
Yes. I can't remember who won that. Who the heck? I don't remember. It was, there was quite a few family teams. I remember that. And I think Debbie Cannon and her family had a team.
Yes.
And
yeah. That would, because she was pretty instrumental in that piece. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and look now. Anyway, that was just a fun element to have during all of those celebrations.
Yeah, because not all art has to be permanent. It can be temporary.
That's right. And then, so the torchbearer was, I'm not entirely sure. I think that's Peter Postel.
Okay.
I think. He's the same artist who did the salmon in Enderby.
Enderby,
on the corner of the highway and Main Street. So that was an important part. And there's also a tile project in Fletcher Park. And it was a little bit
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It was kind of after the pebble tile mosaic, and we did a broken tile workshop as well, and we kind of wanted to try it out. Mm-hmm. So there was this weird little cement thing there that was kind of like a welcome sign, but not really. It wasn't really a bench. And so I remember Madeline Eames and Nadine Quilty, they were on the committee at the time. They said, well, why don't you just do something tile-ish here? So we had an open tile day where kids could come with their families and build little tiny pictures out of tile. And then we stuck them to that thing. I mean, it was totally random and not really well planned out at all. It was just fun. And there's a few tiles missing out of that thing now, but it was just a fun kind of experiment. Mm-hmm. And now there's little pictures there that, aww, you know, kids that are now 10 years older can look and say, oh my gosh, I did that. Which is fun.
I contributed.
Yeah.
Yes.
So three pieces of public art in Fletcher Park.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not to mention the actual, like, I find even the playground pieces are artistic.
And yeah.
The big dragon. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a very animated,
mm-hmm,
beautiful space.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And so welcoming. Like, I just feel like it's so wide open. You don't, like, I don't think that visitors to our community would ever feel like, oh, do I have to pay to go in there or anything, right? Like, it just feels very like, yep, this is your space.
Yeah.
Come and enjoy.
Come on in.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel overrun by, you know, a certain crowd of people or anything, right? Like, it just is all ages, mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. There's kids, there's seniors, there's teenagers. It's just really mm-hmm. nice.
Nice. Lots of green space, too.
Yeah.
Lots of shade, although they did have to cut a tree down because it was in bad shape, which is always makes me sad because trees are so amazing at mm-hmm. keeping things cool. But
yeah.
You can't have trees falling on children.
No, that would be not
advisable.
Not really, no. Okay, and now our final stop on this particular tour, because I know there's other pieces all over town, but we're kind of just staying in the downtown.
Yes.
Is the City Hall collection.
Itself, City mm-hmm. Hall itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
So back when it was built, mm-hmm. The council set aside a few thousand dollars mm-hmm. to build this art collection, mm-hmm. which was fantastic. So I was on that committee mm-hmm. and helped to select some of the work.
I was on that committee.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
I must have said something they didn't like because I didn't get invited back. Well, no, I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
I think the process happened and.
Well, I think there was local, more people yeah. on the committee early on.
Yes.
And then as decisions were made, then it was kind of, for some of those people, they left the committee because we made all these decisions.
Yeah. So then it was more about placement and, yeah. and negotiation.
So then
and,
by the end, it was probably just five or six mm-hmm. of us that were kind of figuring stuff
out. And there's
out.
Lovely, I mean, it's a very thoughtful collection.
Yeah.
And quite reflective of. You know, our community's mm-hmm. artistic sensibilities,
yeah.
I guess, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's some sculpture, there's some painting, there's some...
Yeah, yeah. And they're all fantastic mm-hmm. work. Like, we've got a beautiful triptych by Steve Menny mm-hmm. right in the main reception area. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. Two Joy Stories mm-hmm. that were apple orchard paintings, mm-hmm. really large. They're in the atrium between the courthouse and City Hall.
Yeah.
There's pieces by youth artists because Bronwyn Moen was one of the artists chosen.
Oh, yeah.
For that. Yeah. And just two Linda Franklins, mm-hmm. which is appropriate because her grandfather was the mayor once wow. upon a time.
Yeah.
So that's important. Same with Mavis Smith, right? Her husband was mayor.
And yes.
There's a Sherry Kallock in there, Tatiana O'Donnell, a Patti Smith mm-hmm. is right there in the reception area. So it was a really nice, and that one Heidi Mattis piece, because she showed at our gallery. She's from Vernon originally, but she had family up in Salmon Arm, has some history in Salmon Arm. And she did the residency in Iceland.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Okay.
So she did those beautiful.
And where are they in City Hall?
There's one in the reception area too. It's just right when you are looking in. Yeah. So, I mean, we've got some fantastic artists represented there. Mm-hmm.
And it was, again, we talked about this when we did the Art of Home show, but those pieces have more value today than they did.
Oh, they absolutely do. Right? Yes.
So if they just painted or deckled or mm-hmm. or done nothing.
Yeah. Or if they bought winter art.
Oh, no, they would never do that.
Well, hopefully not.
I hope not.
But that is an asset that has appreciated.
Oh, absolutely. It's appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, on top of that, there is a collection of Japanese art.
Yes.
Now, this you probably know more about in terms of how this comes about, but we have a sister city.
Yes.
Inishiki.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Japan.
In Japan.
And
have had for 25 years.
Yeah. So every time either our mayor goes to visit there or their leaders come to here, there's usually an exchange of gifts.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of artwork mm-hmm. as these gifts. And that there had to be a place to display it. So mm-hmm. when the new city hall was built, it was decided in the big
meeting room.
Yeah. Not council chambers, but the big meeting room right next to council chambers would be the place where the Japanese collection was held.
Yes.
And so that's all on display
it
there.
It is on display. I see it every time I go.
Yeah. It's a great story.
I spend a lot of time in that room.
Yeah. You do, don't you? You're on a lot of committees. And then it extends outside of City Hall.
It sure does, yes. Mm-hmm. So once we've done... And, you know, when you come to City Hall, because I know it's tax season... Oh, there I go, dated the show again. I didn't mean to do that. But if you live in Salmon Arm and you happen to go to City Hall, you check out the art, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great... And especially in the atrium... Lovely pieces.
Yeah.
And the whole plaza in front is beautiful, too.
It is.
The water feature. So much thoughtful design went into that building. Mm-hmm. So the water feature, that's right.
Yeah.
The gardens, the...
Yeah. Yeah. So if you...
But now we're going to cross back.
Yeah, we're just going to go zip over to McGuire Lake. Because of the Japanese art collection that's in City Hall.
Or our connection to our sister city. Mm-hmm. We built a friendship gate, Japanese mm-hmm. friendship gate.
Yeah. So you kind of have to go up the little hill towards the highway.
Yeah, and you'll see it. You can't
drive
by without.
And what is the occasion that we see? Every once in a while you see all of those fish flags.
That are up. When they're here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah. Fun.
Just like when you go by an embassy, if the flag is up, the ambassador is home.
Oh.
If there's no flag, there's no ambassador.
Oh, how interesting. Mm-hmm. And what's the story of the fish flags? Like, why is it that they're...
I don't know enough. We need to learn more about
that. We do need to know more about that, because it's been, like
but
you said,
you know,
25
fish, years. There's like a lot of similarities between the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking that after 25 years...
I think it's all based on friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we should, as a community, know more about that.
Oh, absolutely. We need to know more.
Where do we think would be the best place to put information like that, where people would know? Because obviously not enough people are visiting the gate to learn more about it. Is there's a thing there, though, right? Is there a heritage plaque there?
I think there's a plaque. I don't know, but it's not a heritage plaque. There is a heritage plaque at McGuire Lake, but it's more of McGuire Lake.
About the lake and,
when, in back in the day,
right? Yeah.
So we need to work hard to remember to record what we're doing in the day.
Yeah.
So in 50 years from now,
well,
go,
this is
back
historical.
In the day.
Yeah, because what we're doing right now is historical.
I know. One day
it
this
will be
heritage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that will be a purpose for somebody. A little brochure on the Japanese collection would be helpful.
Yes.
If somebody would like to take that on.
It be a lovely university or master's.
Yeah, like a summer student project, right?
Art history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. We'll just drop that idea on somebody's lap.
There you
lap.
Go.
Because I can't do it
out
right
there.
Now. Okay. Well, that was your virtual tour. We hope you take yourself downtown and enjoy the assets that your community has to offer.
And just stroll and enjoy. It's a beautiful place. And we're so lucky to live here.
We are really
lucky.
But
if we don't stop and take a good look, you might miss it.
Yep. And now...
As the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
So speaking of public art, art that is out for the public to see.
And famous public artists.
Yeah. Mm. So who comes to mind when you think of like sort of the most, probably not the most controversial, but definitely the most talked about, the most random, the most criminal, the most unknown, the most mysterious,
the most the international man of mystery of public art.
Yeah. Who comes to mind?
Banksy.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting, actually, to follow this person's career. We still don't know who he is, if he, in fact, is a he. Just never know.
Mm-hmm.
However, the fellow keeps making the news.
And he keeps showing up in places you least expect him.
Yeah. There's a new movie about him, too.
I saw
on Netflix. Like, not Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Oh, I was going to say, isn't there one already?
Yeah, but there's another one.
So he... Well,
The new news, the most recent news is just really fun.
I was just going to sort of read out the... He's on Twitter, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. Banksy is an English-based graffiti artist, political activist, and film director of Unverified Identity. Doesn't that sound glamorous?
It does.
Hello, my name is Unverified Identity. His satirical street art and subversive epigrams combine dark humor with graffiti executed in a distinctive stenciling technique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's kind of the groundbreaker of all things graffiti. It used to be graffiti was just vandalism, but he's making graffiti valuable.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this. Sometimes good graffiti makes ugly space better.
Yeah.
And it highlights this space is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
This is also sending a message, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like design work when you think about it, right? Design is
absolutely.
Solutions.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the news, the Banksy news of the day. So at an elementary school in Bristol, Bridge Farm Primary School, the kids had a contest to name four of the school houses, and they named one of them Banksy. They're Brunel, Blackbeard, Cabot, and Banksy.
So. But he's definitely resonates... With so many people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, so they, you know, just as a celebration.
Like the common man, right? He really stands up for the, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as a celebration of him, because he's been there since the 90s doing the work, right? So, I mean, he's kind of their historical record, too, in mm-hmm. terms of artists that mm-hmm. are important to the community. So, you know, they named one of the houses after him, which is really awesome. And then...
I wonder how the headmaster felt about that. Yeah.
But then they all arrived to school one morning and found a new mural had been painted on that house's blank wall.
Can you imagine?
By Banksy.
Oh my gosh, I can't. I'm blown away.
I know. So, and he left a note.
Oh, read the note.
Okay.
It's an awesome note.
Okay, the note says, "Dear Bridge Farm School, thanks for your letter and naming a house after me. Please have a picture. And if you don't like it, feel free to add stuff. I'm sure the teachers won't mind. Remember, it's always easier to get forgiveness than permission."
Aww.
Much love, Banksy.
Yes.
Isn't that so cute?
It's adorable.
It's almost like he's the grandpa or something sending this letter to his grandchild.
That's right.
It's sweet.
If you don't like it, please add stuff.
Yeah.
Notice he didn't say paint over it.
Yeah.
Just add stuff.
Yeah. Which is cool.
Yeah.
So I saw this first on Colossal, or this is Colossal. It's an awesome site with usually big art. But you can see a picture of the mural, and it's a child sort of scratch drawing of a girl, you know, doing that stick wheel game where you're pushing
running
a wheel down the street.
Yeah.
But the wheel is actually a tire that's in flame,
yes.
Like just totally engulfed in flame.
Yeah.
So it's pretty groovy. And there he is, signed it. Banksy.
Wow.
Yeah. So now that building just went up in value by about $100,000.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more important, the students connected to the artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know we like to name things after people who are no longer here, but sometimes I think we need to show more recognition for the work that people do while they're here, not after they're gone.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not as much fun when you're the person who something's been named for and you're gone already.
Yes.
But
there's just different ways to honor a legacy.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's kind of the thing about the cultural or the asset of having public art in our community is it's a legacy story.
Yes.
And we're recognizing it every single time we do something that we think is contemporary. We're still creating a legacy that will be historically important, and it will tell the story of right now.
Yes.
And we have to remember to tell the story well
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what we do. We're making trail, like
mm-hmm.
Phil talks about this. Everything is trail building.
Yeah.
Right.
And everything is storytelling.
And you have to have markers along the way. And mm-hmm. to me, that's what public art is. It's the markers on the trail that we build together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that that be a contemporary piece.
Right? Yeah. We can't always just celebrate the old, because what we're doing right now mm-hmm. will be old mm-hmm. someday.
So I know Banksy evokes some very, critical conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's vandalism and private property. And on the other hand, when I see graffiti, sometimes I see a child in need of help. I mean, if you're going to buy a can of spray paint and go out of your way, especially obviously the hate-filled graffiti.
Yeah.
And there's examples of it in every community.
I mean,
that's a huge note, sticky note to self. These kids need help.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more loud do you need to be,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I also see a groundswell when I see little graffitis, little tags sometimes. I think that's just storytelling. Hi, I'm here.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to be known.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to be known except this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I would love one day to do a public graffiti projects, and kids are into it. They're into spray paint, they're into art, they want to tag stuff, and they're not because they're little brats who want to wreck things, because they're future grown-ups who want to contribute.
Yeah.
So it's just how you
they
look at
they want to make
it.
Their mark.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to judge that mm-hmm. when we all do things differently, mm-hmm. right? We all are measuring it by our own how we like to make a mark, but that's all they want to make a mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would ruin what graffiti is if you said to young people, okay, you want spray paint, you want a graffiti, let's find a way.
Yeah, I suppose the element of
if you give me permission, then it's not as much fun.
That's right.
Right.
So maybe Oh, yeah. What kind of compromise can you make there where you have a lot of big blank walls that you just paint a fresh color every year and you say, well, whatever happens, we'll just repaint next year.
I mean, maybe if the antidote is to that is then the people who really want to paint just to paint get to paint.
Yeah.
And the people who do it to irritate or upset people don't bother because it's you've given them permission.
Yeah.
So if you give the permission, then all of a sudden it no longer becomes an act of rebellion. It becomes an act of art.
An act of art. Mm-hmm. Yeah. True. Well, we've talked about some other ideas. Like I remember one of the city staffers talked to me years ago.
We should go over like a giant lead balloon, by the way.
No, but about how to deal with a certain blank wall on a certain building.
Yeah.
And I suggested painting very large squares of different colors all along that blank wall so that it's colorful, like these big colorful blocks. But if somebody, you know, did something to it, because that was the issue, right? Is that it'd be random little tags and stuff on this huge wall. It looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
Then it would almost become, every piece would become framed in its own little block of color.
Yeah.
And then they might put a little more attention into it and give it some love and actually, you know, create a composition or something, right? Like, you know, there's options. We just have to kind of think about how do we do this that makes everybody feel like they're, you know, well, yeah, just so that it's not somebody doing the compromising and somebody else doing the taking.
Yes.
We got to be able to figure this out where we're working together.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other ideas
and,
out there.
You know, it's a skill, it's an art, it's a form of expression, and it is coming mainstream, right? And so ultimately public art is about engagement and authenticity, our favorite word. And you'll notice that the pieces that have a real story ought to have the respect of the community. The pieces that don't necessarily have
it. Yeah. Those are the ones that people are the most critical of.
Yes.
The no connection.
Or the ones that get tagged. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's the unhappy, you know, spray paint owner. That's their way of saying, I'm making my mark on something that doesn't have any meaning to me. And, you know, whether it's a blank wall
or I'm angry and this is how I'm expressing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if this something is meaningful, then, you know, people tend not to mess with it.
Well, because they feel it connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And most of our assets in public art in Salmon Arm have that. We have a connection to it.
Well, you know, you live and learn, right?
We do.
Yeah.
Anyway, still, graffiti is part of public art. It's an important thing to consider that we have stories to tell, and sometimes they're beautiful and sometimes they're not, and we have to deal with it either way. So,
that's right.
So let's figure it out.
Sometimes it's not beautiful storytelling, but still a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the important part.
Yes.
What's the story?
Yeah. So speaking of story, there's a whole lot of events that you can be part of and be connected to other people through. And every art event, as far as I'm concerned, is storytelling.
Yes.
So get yourself out there. You can find arts events going on all summer long.
All summer long.
On the participate page.
All over the Shoe Shop.
Yeah. On our website.
Yes.
SalmonArmArtCenter.ca.
Yeah.
And one really important one this summer is Trail Mix.
Yes.
That's trails and stories are intertwined. You can't tear them apart. It's what it is.
Yes.
In a way, trails are public art, too.
Absolutely. Trail building. Art is trail building. Trail building is art.
Yeah.
Mind blown. You know who else blows my mind?
Who else blows your mind?
Anonymous.
Yeah.
So generous.
It's so amazing. I'm still can't
just
get my head around.
Quietly hand over some money and say, here's for that show.
Yeah. And no thank yous required.
No.
Just here it is. And you don't have to put my name in neon lights.
Maybe Anonymous has a tag.
Do you think like Anonymous is a tagger?
It could be like a big heart with a happy face in it. No, he's probably more.
Well,
he or she is probably more.
Not a symbol. It would have to be an original piece of art.
Yes.
A heart is a symbol.
Or maybe some sort of Japanese.
Some character that's totally created out of. Yeah. I don't know. There's got to be something that means anonymous already. Kind of like the infinity symbol. Isn't there something that means anonymous?
I don't know.
Anyway. Thank you to Anonymous.
Yes.
No matter if you're a tagger or not.
You have to tell us now. ..
No.
I know.
That's the same anonymity that graffiti artists use, right?
Yes, and
except ooh, they're not necessarily
Banksy, I mean,
supporting community radio.
Banksy's my second favorite anonymous. How about that?
We could do a whole show on anonymous.
Yes.
Because there's a whole movement, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's big.
The art actually, of anonymous.
I like it.
Okay, that'll be in the fall. As the anniversary of the sponsorship approaches.
Oh,
that's
yes.
That's what we'll do.
Okay.
Okay.
But in any case, that's an important part of what we do too, because community radio mm-hmm. is public and open and welcoming, and we're creating art by having mm-hmm. conversation about art and design.
Inclusive, and it starts conversations that may or may not end up one day as a public art project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, we are getting pretty expansive here, mm-hmm. but it's kind of critical to have these conversations, to talk about art in the bigger sense. Mm-hmm. It's not always just paintings on the wall.
No.
It's our story.
Yes.
And it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And our story will be history
yes.
pretty soon.
Our so, story is history.
Yeah. So oh. we have to tell it with quality.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Congratulations, everybody, on, yes. on holding a beautiful community art collection.
Yes.
Because it belongs to everyone.
And go visit it.
Go visit it often.
And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.